You're listening to Defiant for You Media. Defiant Media for Defiant Minds.
A time comes when silence is betrayal. That time has come for us. Even when pressed by the demands of inner truth, men do not easily assume the task of opposing their government's policy, especially in time of war. A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. Somehow this madness must cease. We must stop now. I speak as one who loves America, to the leaders of our own nation. The great initiative in this war is ours. The initiative to stop it must be ours.
And good evening. It is a Friday, the 17th of June. This is a special time of Irritate the State News Hour here at 8 p.m. Almost said 8 a.m. 8 p.m. here on the East Coast. And a special guest, special night, a very special topic, as you heard at the end of the intro. It is our initiative to change the things around us. It is up to us, ladies and gentlemen. And if you, unless you've been living under a rock, you have heard my guests say that numerous times. We have to be the change. It's up to us. I want to welcome, without further ado, Mr. Max Egan from thecrowhouse.com. We're going to be speaking on fracking. Welcome to Defiant for You, Max.
Pleasure to be on the show. Thanks for asking me on.
Oh, it is a pleasure indeed. This is a subject, as we were speaking on just prior to the show here, that not a lot of people know about. And unfortunately, not a lot of people know about, because, hey, we're quite literally destroying the water supply and of future generations. And it's happening right out in some of our backyards. It's happening right up the street from myself, about 20 minutes up the road. There is a small village who is fighting to keep fracking from happening. Hydraulic fracturing is what that is short for. That is the process of extracting natural gas out of the Earth's crust. And well, we're going to get into what all that goes into, or what all goes into that, I should say, because we're talking 600 chemicals, 590 some chemicals that are being put into the water and then pumped into our ground, our water. And Max, I want to let you go on here. What is going on with this fracking? As I mentioned, I'm in the learning process. A lot of our listeners here in the chat over at defiantforyou.com are learning about what this is. Please enlighten us on what this whole fracking business is all about.
Well, what it's about is extracting natural gas, and natural gas is obviously quite a clean fuel itself to burn. So it's been promoted as a healthy environmental alternative to coal-fired power stations and stuff like this. But it may be a clean fuel in itself, but the process that is undertaken to extract this stuff is anything but clean. It's anything but environmentally sound. It's one of the most damaging processes that we could possibly undertake. And what it does is they dig into the ground, they drill into the ground 8,000 to 11,000 feet, and they find a coal seam, and they pump chemicals down into the coal seam, and then they explode it. And this, of course, mixes everything together, but it frees up all the gas that exists amongst the rocks and everything down there, and then they can pump the gas up. But what it also does is it breaches the aquifers and all the groundwater in the planet. I mean, water is the most valuable resource on the planet, and most of it exists underground. It comes up in springs. And they're destroying all this groundwater through this fracking process. Now, less than 1% of the water on the planet is actually drinkable water. Between about quarters of 1% and 1% of the water is clean drinkable water that's available to us on the surface of the planet. About 3% of the overall water on the planet is fresh water, but most of that exists below ground in these aquifers. And what happens, like, you know, water flows out, it hits the ground, it soaks into the ground, it comes up in rivers, it flows out to the ocean, it evaporates, it comes down, and it soaks into the ground again. And the supply is always replenished. But because we've been putting cities and roads and all this stuff everywhere, we're actually funneling a lot of this water out to the ocean now, so it's not going into the ground anyway. So, I mean, we're like, admittedly, there's still a lot of areas of land that do collect water, but there's a lot of areas that don't as well. There's enough to have made a difference. So not only have we been funneling this off and straight back out into the ocean and preventing the groundwater from building up again, which has created water shortages around the planet, now we are, also digging into the ground and exploding the aquifers down there. So this is going to destroy the water table. And water is the basic building block of life on this planet. Without water, you don't have life. When we look into space, the first thing we look for on a planet is water, because without water, there can be no life. Yeah, it's the most important thing on the planet. And we're destroying the water in order to extract gas. We can't live on gas. It doesn't make sense.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, Max, how can we possibly think that that exploding up to 600 different chemicals into the ground, into these underground aquifers, which is where our underground water is, how could we possibly think that this is good in any respect? Who's got the governing authority over this? Is this just, you know, I mean, your state, your local areas? I mean, they're in your area. You said they are just, you know, fracking away there.
Well, they are. They're doing it everywhere, and people are finding out that it's usually overseas multinational companies like Chinese companies and stuff like this. Recently, there's been a big outcry in Pennsylvania because they're extracting gas from Pennsylvania, but the Pennsylvania state government isn't even getting any of the proceeds from it. So basically, a corporation has gone into Pennsylvania and is extracting the resources out of the state, and the state isn't even getting anything for it. So the people, that's something that's starting to make the politicians come to the party a little bit, because it's always the mighty dollar for them. But this is the extent that's going on. These people can just go in anywhere, and they can just start extracting gas. You're in a home? Well, I'm sorry, but your home is sitting on our gas field. And so we've got priority over your home, because we're going to extract the gas field that your home is sitting on. And they're doing this everywhere. They're doing it all over the planet. They're doing it in Blackwood in the UK, in suburbs in England. They're doing it, started trying to do it here in a western suburb in Sydney, like in town where people are living, right next to the school. They wanted to put in a gas well because the thing's sitting on a gas deposit. They want to do it where I'm living, in a place called Tweed Valley, which is one of the most environmentally diverse areas on Earth. The Aborigine, the original race of Australia, they refer to this area as the birthplace of their race. So it's one of the most sacred areas in all of Australia, and they've got it earmarked for like 3,000 gas mines or something. It's ridiculous. So they're doing this everywhere, and they're doing it to extract something that we can't live on. And what they are doing is they are destroying the groundwater to do it. And without groundwater, we can't have life. You know, like, you could really see how sinister this is. I mean, by doing this as well, I mean, they're going to force people out of the country and into cities. So, again, we come back to Agenda 21. We come back to concentrated population centres. And you can feed these people in these population centres recycled water, which is essentially dead water. It contains no energy. It contains no memory. It's just, it hydrates you. But, you know, people are all left brain, so they think, oh, that's all I need. I only need hydration. I don't need any energy from the water. What is this energy stuff? You know, you're a hippie. They start, you know, been trained to look down on any of the more miraculous and mysterious properties of water, and simply see it as a common thing that we use to hydrate ourselves. And the government is also, all around the world, the governments are working to commoditize water as well, so that we have to pay for water, when it's one of the building blocks of life.
Oh, indeed.
There's actually there's a village, I think it's in Nairobi, where they're making these people pay for metered water at these villages. These are incredibly poor people, and they're only turning the water on this in this one village for about an hour a day, and they don't tell the people when it's being turned on. So you've got to check your tap all the time to see if you've got flow. And every time you turn the tap on, air pumps through the pipes, and they charge you for the air as well, because whenever the thing's open, then there's the meter's running. So even if there's no water coming through, they're charging these people for the air coming through their pipes. They're giving them an hour's water a day, and if they don't pay their bill, then the water gets cut off. And if you don't have water, you can't live. Water is something that is there to support life, and even the thought of charging people for this stuff is absolutely disgraceful. It is absolutely disgraceful, because you cannot survive. Nobody can survive without water. So the commoditization of water, the destruction of the water table, I mean, it's just, you see this whole big picture, and this is very scary stuff, and it's happening because people are simply ignoring it.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Talk about it.
Yeah, you know, Agenda 21. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I also mentioned that on a friend of ours, a Breiser, I believe, that you were a guest on his show a few weeks back. I was talking with him earlier about what's going on and the fracking and this and that, and Agenda 21 came right up. This seems to be, you know, a way to move people where they want them to go, and as well as make these big corporations huge profits. And apparently you think the same.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's the corporations and big industry that's creating all the problems, and they want to bring in carbon tax and all this stuff and blame the people for it. So, look, oh, it's your fault because you're a consumer. You're consuming all this stuff, and that's what's causing the problem, which is true to an extent. But the people are only consuming that which is given to them by the governments who we employ to act on our behalf, so we assume these people are doing the right thing. We find that these governments have sold out to big corporations who've completely polluted the planet, and because we've consumed what they told us it was okay to consume, now the planet's in a disgraceful state, and they're saying it's our fault. Well, no, it's not. It's their fault, and it's the fault of the corporations that are doing this. Absolutely, we have to stop supporting these corporations, but the only way we're really going to do that is to be able to stand up in mass and demand change and fix things ourselves. The only way we're going to do that is to unite as communities and stand up in mass, and the only way we're going to do that is to do the inner work, remove the fear, so we can start communicating with each other again. Because this whole society is all based in fear, it's all based in division, and whatever the problems are, Agenda 21, all of these things, all of these problems come from our fear to do the inner work and connect with our neighbours and connect with our community around us, because we need this community to be able to stand up in mass and say, hey, enough is enough. We need people to realise that this whole system's fictional. We don't need to do any of it. But all this fracking, all these things, this absolutely ties in with Agenda 21. Mm-hmm. They want to push people into these concentrated population centres. And the danger of fracking as well is that it isn't just you stop them coming onto your property and lock the gate on your property, because if they go to your neighbor's property and he lets them on and they drill down there, then it's the same aquifer.
Right.
It's going to destroy the groundwater on your property anyway.
Exactly.
And all the aquifers are connected. They're all connected. The damage that's been done, even from the fracking in Pennsylvania, the fracking across the Marcellus Shale that's going on through there, up the Madrid Fault, which is quite interesting that it's around there.
Mm-hmm.
All of that fracking that's gone on there, that has already polluted the entire American aquifer system, all of it, because it's all connected. All the groundwater's connected. Water is in everything, every single substance, except, you know, man-made things that, you know, even they have probably got minute amounts of water in there. I mean, even fuel, even gasoline has a minute amount
right.
of water in there. And if you take the water out, the fuel won't burn, very interestingly. So water is in absolutely everything. It's something that connects the whole planet together. And the more it gets polluted through this process, the more the planet will essentially lose its mind, if you understand the planet has, I mean, the water has memory. This is incredibly damaging on so many levels, what they're doing here.
Maybe you could elaborate on that, Max. We have some ex-esoteric type individuals in the chat room over at DefiantForYou.com. Maybe you could go into a little bit of that about, you know, water-holding memory. I've heard you on your particular programs and you as a guest speaking on water-holding the memory of everything. Well, that is tremendous.
Well, yeah, well, when you look at, experiments of people like, Dr. Emoto, and there's a whole bunch of other people now, there's actually a film out called Water, the Great Mystery, which goes through quite a lot of this, and it has a number of scientists and researchers in there that discuss this. But it would appear that water has memory, and it makes perfect sense that it would have. And when you look at your body is a water-based computer. It's 85% water. And everything that you feel, every emotion that you have, every experience that you experience, everything that you are, is encoded within the water in your body. And all of that returns to the groundwater when you die. And all the water is connected. And so when the next water-based life form is born, the next child, the next whatever, the water within that life form contains all of that memory that everybody has put back into creation. The collective memory of the entire creation of Earth and everything that's ever been on this Earth is contained within the water. That's the thing. And it's all water-based. See, when you really start looking at the holographic universe and all this sort of stuff, you start looking at the work of Bruce Lipton and understand how your cells, the membranes on the cells that make up your body are tuned to an individual frequency in the surrounding field that is you. And you actually download that frequency into your cells. That's why if you were to take a kidney out of my body and put it in your body, you might start experiencing me. You wouldn't start having my memories. You'd start experiencing me. You'd start wanting the things that I want, craving the things that I crave, be interested in the things that I do. You might find you could play guitar one day and didn't know you could before. Things like this. And it isn't that my kidney contains memory, it's that my kidney is changing my frequency in the surrounding field, so that's what it downloads into itself. That's why when people have organ transplants, sometimes they start experiencing the person and the memories of the person who was the donor of the organ. And this is quite well documented. Mm-hmm. And so you understand how that works. Okay, so this is how the biological computer downloads the frequency that is you, but where's all the memory? Well, the memory's in the water. It's like a RAM drive. You know, if you can think of the water as the RAM, it comes into this biological computer, which is your body, which is basically the operating system. The kind of CPU of the operating system would be your DNA that determines what frequency is downloaded by the cells. The membranes that make up your cells, and that's how the whole biological computer works. And that's how the frequency that is you is downloaded into your body and how your body functions. How your body knows what to do and what life is all about and what the world is because all the memory is contained within the water. It's like a RAM drive, random access memory. It's all there. That's how come when we have these revelations and we think, gee, it's like I've always known that. Well, it's because the memory is encoded within the water. You know, and when you really start looking at the state of our body and the state of everything, you realize that we're only functioning to 3% of our capability because our DNA is shut down so much. And we've got all of these higher senses that are sort of blocked off from us through the impaired state of our genetic system. Well, it becomes obvious that one of these higher senses can probably access this water. This is how we have these intuitions and these revelations and all these things. It isn't just electrical. It isn't just that our heart communicates with the energy field around us. It's that we're also accessing the water. And if we could access the water on the planet and read the memory that is contained within the water on the planet, then why would we need things like the internet? You know? This is what I believe is possible. And when you start looking into other stuff like DMT and all this sort of thing, and DMT, they call it a hallucinogen, but it isn't. It's an interface. DMT, the DMT molecule, is how reality communicates with itself. So you can see how this all happens emotionally, energetically. It happens physically through the water. There's this huge mass communication system going on that we as human beings are not aware of. But the whole animal kingdom is. This is how the birds know where to fly. This is how they can all turn together, how the fish all turn and have a single mind. This is how the eels know to swim to the Sea of Japan to mate. This is how animals know when the seasons are going to change. All of this sort of stuff. It's because nature and animals and what we refer to as lesser species have these higher senses active, and they are able to communicate with reality in a way that human beings cannot. And by destroying the water table, they can destroy the memory of the planet. And if you think of the planet as a living organism, which I believe it is, I believe that we are part of that organism. I think the whole thing is indelibly connected together. You know, that of course the Earth is our mother, because we can't survive without the Earth. If the Earth wasn't here, we wouldn't be here.
I agree.
We're all completely connected, absolutely connected. So if they can, you know, the damage that could be done by destroying the memory of this beautiful organism, this beautiful reality that we call life on Earth. This is what could, you know, this fracking and this destruction of the water table has the potential to destroy all of this and destroy the entire experience. And so it's incredibly important that people deal with this. And as I said, sure, we need energy, but we don't need to destroy our water table to do it, because water is the most valuable thing on this planet. It's the most important thing that exists in all of this reality.
Exactly. I mean, you couldn't hit it more on the head. Now, we have, all right, here right up the street from me, got the local village there, and they are called a village. Yellow Springs, Ohio is a village. I don't know really what that all entails, because I've never been a part of a village, so-called. But they are fighting this thing tooth and nail. And they appear to have them at bay for the moment. I haven't heard any new news, and this is right up the street, about 20 minutes up the road, because you made a great point, Max, and that's, you know, you can refuse this. And in the documentary Gasland, you see a lot of families that are completely just, it is horrible what it has done to the lifestyle, to the health of a lot of these families. And what I'm saying is, even though you can fight it tooth and nail, like I'm seeing right up the road, it seems as if they will poison you until you leave, and then they get their land anyway. It's a very bullying type action that these corporations are taking.
Well, absolutely, and that's why everybody has to stand up for it. I mean, even the people in your main city that may not be involved with this village, they have to support what's going on here, because
exactly.
It's the groundwater, and it affects the people in the city just as much as it affects the people in the country. It affects everybody. It affects the entire planet. Life on this planet cannot exist if the groundwater is contaminated, and even if there is a 1% chance that this activity could contaminate the groundwater, then it can't be allowed. It's as simple as that. And any politician that allows it, any corporation that is attempting to do it, needs to have their charter revoked. People need to lock the gate. Don't let these people in. If they go somewhere and start doing it, you need massive amounts of people on the ground to just go there and stop them. Surround these drilling rigs, just stop them. Stop the whole process, say you're not going to allow it, regardless of what legislation is put in place. If there's legislation that's been put in place which is going to allow this, then not only are we going to stop this from happening, we want to know who enacted the legislation, because we wish to take them to The Hague and have them tried for crimes against humanity under their own legal system. If that's what they're going to do with the legal system, well, let's give them the legal system. And don't worry about doing it in a local court. We'll take it to the international court, and we'll try them for crimes against humanity, because this is not acceptable.
And that's what
people
it is.
People have to understand that we have elected these governments to represent us, and that the government is essentially the servant of the people. We elect these people to act as our administrative arms, and that's all we need them to do. We need them to supply roads and schools and a transport system and make sure that the trains run on time and all this sort of stuff, and all the things that they seem to be grossly inefficient at actually doing for us. But we don't need governing in ourselves. We don't need to be told that we are going to destroy the groundwater in order for profit. We don't need people to be told that they have to pay for water, because that's not what we elect governments to do. We enact them, we elect them to make sure we have a functional society, and they're doing anything but. So people need to stand up about this one, and I'm really hoping that fracking and the destruction of groundwater will provide humanity with the opportunity that humanity needs to wake up to itself, realize that we do have a serious problem here, and to stand up peacefully and stop complying with it. Yeah. You know, stop complying with it. We don't need any revolution. We need peaceful non-compliance. And for that, we need people to stand in solidarity. For that, we need people to connect with their communities. And for that, again, we need people to do the inner work. Get rid of the fear. Get to know your neighbors. Support your neighbors. Understand we're all in this together. The human race is literally a single organism. So let's be a little bit responsible and start acting like adults and take the matter in hand peacefully.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was on Breiser's show earlier, just a few hours ago, and one of the chatters was asking me, you know, what would I do? You know, what do we do? What are the solutions here, Kurt? And, you know, honestly, in this particular area, and I think that it's pretty similar all around the world, this is fairly new. I mean, as you mentioned, a lot of people don't know about this, but yet these rigs are going up everywhere. And so you have to be creative, and you know, you have to, you know, hit up the city council. Get, as you mentioned so many times, I love it. Get to know your neighbors. It's so basic, so fundamental that I guess it seems to be overlooked, getting to know the person living right next to you and letting them know what's going on with our water supply. This is the lifeblood of all of us, of all living things. And to let corporations just walk right in to your city, district, area, wherever, and just start destroying the water. And not only that, charging for, you know, water, that blew my mind. It's unbelievable. I mean, profit for anything. Water, we need this. We need this to sustain life. And this is being poisoned by up to 600 chemicals. Now, in that movie, Gasland, Max, they mentioned that it takes roughly about 600 to 700 tankers of water, bringing water in for one well. Then they load them, I guess, full of chemicals. And then there's going to be a little bit of a backlash as far as water. Some of that water is going to be pushed back up. It's going to be chemical-infested water. And interestingly enough, only 200 to 300 truckloads are needed to carry this wastewater out. Now, doing the math, and I was never very good at math in the public indoctrination system, but we're talking about half the truckloads. We're bringing in 600 to 700 truckloads of water, fracking water, but we're only taking out 200 to 300. That's obvious poisoning of our natural resources there.
Well, it is, absolutely. That's the problem. That's what people aren't realizing. It's a huge problem. And yeah, absolutely. You've got to stand together. You've got to do this through a communal way. You've got to have the community standing up. And I believe if you go and approach the councils and you go to these meetings and stand up and be confrontational, but be eloquent. Simply state your case. Don't try to work within the legal system. Don't try to be politically correct. Just stand up in equity, stand in your power, know who you are, and get up and say, hey, we're not interested in your laws. If you've got laws that are allowing this, then we want to know who enacted those laws, because we consider those people to be in breach of the trust that we, the people, have granted the government. So we're not interested in your legal system, because you're talking about destroying the groundwater. And if you think we are going to let you destroy the groundwater because some sociopath wrote some lines on a piece of paper and put a government stamp on it, then you're completely mistaken. Because you, the government, are actually the trustees of the power that we, the people, give you. And if you're destroying the groundwater, then you're in breach of that trust, and we're going to hold you accountable. And we're going to do it in an international court. The buck stops here. We're not letting you pass. We want to know who started this, who's responsible, and we want to hold them accountable. And if we want anybody who is going to support this action, we're going to make them accountable as well. We're going to take a list of all of your names, and we're going to take you all to an international court, because you are destroying life on this planet, and you're doing it to support a fake monetary system which has been designed to enslave the whole country to debt. So let's address that at the same time too. I mean, let's just look at this whole system and say enough is enough. And that's what needs to happen. People have to stand in their power. There's no good writing petitions. There's no good having violent revolutions. There's no good, you know, screaming at people and marching to town with guns and all this sort of stuff. People need to wake up to the fact that your water is being destroyed. You cannot survive without water, and the buck has to stop here. It has to stop with the people. We have to unite on this. You know, we've gone through so much. You know, how much are the people of the world prepared to take? I mean, you know, they're spraying us with chemicals. They put toxin on all the food. They put fluoride in the water. We're subject to endless wars, endless famine, endless homelessness. You know, all of this stuff and this interest-based money system, and now they're taking the water. They're taking the basic element of life away from people, and they're destroying what is available to us. And we have to stand up and do something about it. We have to do it peacefully, but we have to be firm, and we have to be eloquent when we speak to people about it. But we cannot approach them and petition them for change. We need to demand that change is implemented now, or people will be taken to international courts to be tried for their crimes. It's got to be dealt with that way.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. And I'm wondering if, you know, people have it in them. Because this is the final straw. This is the final straw, it seems like, Max. I mean, they have gone after our air. They, you know, spraying us and who knows what we're breathing, you know, there. Breathing in aluminum, barium, and then these things, you know, it doesn't seem to be good to me. eating the processed food, the fluoride in the water, and now just hitting the water, hitting the lifeblood, the life force, of life. I mean, just going right at it. Full steam ahead, and people have no idea that this is even going on, and won't realize it until they have an instance like so many of the families in the movie Gasland, where they turn their water on, it comes out black, it comes out oil and gas mixture, and who knows what else is in there. They're lighting their water on fire. It is just absolutely, I mean, sooner or later, something has got to break. And it is going to take the community to get together and say, I've had enough, enough is enough. And I'm really thinking that Yellow Springs, Ohio here is doing that. They have stood up to a lot of the issues that have come about there in their area, and I'm really hoping. But as you mentioned, Max, it's not just those there in Yellow Springs or there in the actual area where you may have hundreds, thousands of tankers, of these rigs. It could be, you know, your next door neighbor, those just living around it. This is destroying the overall water to begin with, in all the surrounding areas. Max, we are going to take a quick little break right here. I'm going to play a quick little song here. It's a song, a message of freedom. Freedom of, you know, hey, we're talking about freedom here. We're talking about the freedom of drinking clean water that is being just molested by these big multi-corporations on the name of profit. And sooner or later, we are going to wake up with our children not being able to drink clean water, and us not being able to drink clean water. Some of the stories that were talked about in the documentary Gasland. which is absolutely horrible. What these people had to go through health-wise and just the drinking water alone. We'll be right back right here, DefiantForYou.com, special guest Max Egan talking about fracking and who knows what else, because this is such a big issue here. We'll be right back right after this. We are back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to leave our children much of a future. Well, quite honestly, if they don't have water. That's what we're talking about here. My special guest, Max Egan, talking about fracking, the history, you know, what's going to happen here in the future if this just is left to go and just create this monster. We can't let this happen. We have to stand up. We have to lose our fear, as you mentioned, Max. We have to lose our fear. We have to stand up and say, no more. We've had enough. We want clean water. It is our human right. I mean, we deserve clean water. This comes from the earth, and in my opinion, anything that comes from the earth, well, is all of ours indiscriminately. What do you think, Max?
Well, absolutely. I mean, and water, we're water-based life forms. Actually, everything on the planet is a water-based life form. Even plants are water-based life forms. So nothing can survive without water. Water isn't a commodity. Water is the basic element of life. And it really is about people facing their fear. It really is. See, that's the problem. I mean, even when I say we can go and demand that we want to know who enacted these laws and we're going to take them to the Hague for trial, that's only because people need something to get their teeth into. They need to be able to think of it in a left brain way. But ultimately, what it's about is knowing who and what you are and knowing what your rights are here on Earth. You have the right to life. Everybody has the right to life. Life can't exist without water. Any threat against the water is a threat against life. It's that simple. If governments have enacted legislation that enable them to do this, then don't comply with it. Simply ignore it. It's not valid legislation. If the community bands together, if you have community, if you can depend on those around you to stand with you in solidarity, and they should, because they're water-based life forms as well, then you simply don't comply with the legislation. You say no, enough is enough. In France, when they enact legislation that infringes with the rights of the people, the whole country goes on strike. They
right.
drive all their trucks into the capital, they block off Paris, and they say,
exactly.
fix it. And the government has no choice. They have to.
They cost their government like $6.9 billion a day or $69 billion a day at one time. They just stopped, everything.
Yeah. We should do this. I mean, we're all water-based life forms. So why doesn't everybody stop for a day? Why don't we have a complete one day of non-compliance? Imagine if the whole globe, imagine if everybody in America just said, okay, enough is enough. Today, we're not going to do anything. In fact, we're going to go and we're going to stand around the council chambers. We're going to all march to the capital city. We're not even going to march. We're just going to go there and we're going to have a picnic in the park. And we're going to stop for a day. The whole country just shut down. If you don't stop this, what you're doing to the water table, then we're going to continue. The problem is people look at it and they say, oh, jobs. It's creating jobs, so it's good. And it's clean energy because it's gas. But they don't realize that the process is anything but clean. And this concern for jobs that people have, people go, oh, jobs is good. Well, why are jobs good? Why do you want a job so much? Why? Is it because you have to pay to be alive? Why do you have to pay to be alive? What's that all about? How do we get into a situation where we're willing to destroy the planet in order to have a job so we can collect paper to have what the planet provides for us? Because if we continue to work this way, we're not going to have a planet to provide anything for us, so what are we going to need the paper for? It doesn't make sense. We've got this whole mentality where we need paper to be alive. Now everybody's in a constant state of shortage because we all need to have money to be alive. We have to pay to be alive. As soon as we're old enough to pay to be here, we have to pay to be here or die. So is that what life was about? Were we born in order to work and pay to be alive and miss out on who we are and miss out on finding ourselves? You see these cities, you've got everybody in these cities running around at 100 miles an hour doing all this stuff which is completely meaningless. It's all completely meaningless. They've got deadlines to meet and you know, certain hours to do things.
Constricted by time.
It's just unbelievable. And all the way along, they miss out on who they are. They miss out on being themselves. They miss out on living a real life because they're living this superficial life enslaved to this society, this whole fictional system, this idea of what life is like, but it isn't. And they just spend their life in acquisition. More stuff, more stuff, more stuff. Climb the social ladder, climb the corporate ladder, climb this ladder, climb that ladder. Get more stuff, more stuff, more stuff, because the more I acquire, the more successful I am. But then when they get there and they've got all this stuff and they've spent all their whole life running around in these corporate nightmares and stuff, they sit and reflect one night and they realize that they never actually found out who they were along the way, that no one ever really got to know them along the way.
Right.
That they missed out on their life because they were too busy collecting stuff outside themselves.
Right.
The end of it all goes back in the box anyway. It's all meaningless stuff. It doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's really what it's all about. It's dealing with this inner us that we've lost. That's what we need to do, and that's how we deal with all the problems that we face. That's how we deal with all of it.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, solving these problems starts with us. I've been saying that for about the past year and a half, 2 years that I've been doing radio, and that's where it is. You don't look to a politician. Don't look for a specific legislation, a specific law or bill to say that, hey, you're free to do this, because that's not freedom in any sense. Got a question real quick, Max, from the chat room. How's it going in where you're at as far as holding off these multinational corporations, or corporations, whether they be local or whatnot, holding them off as far as the fracking goes? Is there a lot of awareness as far as that goes where you are, and how's that going there?
Well, we've got a 60-day moratorium on fracking at the moment, which is in place, so there's no fracking for the next 60 days while it's being investigated. The whole country is making noise about it. There's no fracking posters in all the major cities. People everywhere are talking about it. There's also been a huge media blitz in the last 2 weeks, I've noticed. Huge ad campaigns on television stations, newspaper ads, all promoting gas, coal seam gas mining, all saying how safe it is, trying to win the public heart and, you know, change the public's mind and show them how safe and secure and how wonderful it is. You know, all these big, long, expensive ads showing children laughing in the beach and all this sort of stuff. You know, nothing to do with coal seam gas mining, but all these nice, heartwarming pictures of children and seagulls and all this sort of stuff. You know, so there's a huge media campaign to try to promote it, and there's a 60-day moratorium on while they're attempting to win the hearts of the people back. But there are huge public groups going on. There are radio shows such as this one. There's a lot of public outcry about it. So we're really, really working hard to try to get it completely banned the way it has been in France. A moratorium is good, but it's not near good enough, because they'll just not do it for 60 days, have a huge media blitz, and then sort of start slowly doing it again
right.
while no one's looking
yeah.
and hope that the people forget. So, Australians are a bit like that, unfortunately, as well. We can get very apathetic. I mean, they are a very staunch people if their blood is really raised, but they tend to get a bit lost in beer and football and Dancing with the Stars like everybody else these days.
Right.
And so with a big enough media campaign, they may, you know, just forget about it and roll back over and go back to sleep. So we're working very hard to try to prevent that happening.
Well, that's where it comes from, you know. Unfortunately, not a lot of people, I think not enough people, are tuning into some of the alternative media outlets and hearing about these issues. So I guess it's time to take it to your local media outlets. It was being asked in the chat room over at TNS Radio about solutions, and I suggested, well, as you alluded to, getting to know the people around you, hitting up the city councils, getting involved at that level, even holding screenings to show the documentary Gasland. There's so many things that can be done. It's just, are people willing to do something about this? Because, unfortunately, Max, and I've seen this so many times, when people are presented with information, well, let's go back a little bit and, you know, fluoride. When people were presented with the information of fluoride and the dangers of fluoride, it wasn't accepted very well among the general population, only because, well, you had, you know, for years and years, you had that onslaught of propaganda telling you it's okay, it helps your teeth, it helps this, it helps that, it's recommended by dentists and this and that. Well, now we're seeing the American Dental Association, the CDC as well, say you shouldn't be ingesting fluoride. This isn't good for you. Unfortunately, I mean, I'm hoping that this right here won't take as long. It seems to have taken a little bit of time to awaken the public of fluoride, being that this has been going on for 50, 60, 70 years now. The fluoride, hopefully fracking doesn't take, because I'm going to tell you what, if fracking lasts that long, we're looking at, you know, just a wipeout. I mean, they're going to wipe out entire nations with this.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it can't be anything like that. I mean, it's got to stop immediately. There can't be any question of this. See, fluoride's a different issue. I mean, a lot of people, they find it very difficult to believe the government would be giving them a substance which is essentially all about mind control. And people find that very difficult information to deal with. So a lot of people simply discount it. Even when you look through the history of fluoride, what it's been used for traditionally was to create apathetic prisoners. That's what it was used for in World War II. It's what it was used for in the Russian gulags. That is its history. And so you've got to, you know, question the whole thing. And even dentists will say that fluoride does prevent tooth decay, but only if applied topically.
Yeah, so it's a topical.
It's okay if you rub it on. But ingesting fluoride has nothing to do with preventing tooth decay, because the amount that would wash over your teeth is just negligible. It doesn't make any sense at all that it would be used for that. So, yeah, but they did manage to convince a lot of dentists of this, and that's all they had to do, because if you can convince the dentists, then the dentists will convince the population, because these are reputable dentists, you know. So the dentists say, look, okay, it works topically. They don't really think about that. They don't think, oh, the topical part. They just think, okay, yeah, fluoride, yeah, prevents tooth decay. Oh, yeah, fluoride in the water, yeah, no worries. We've got government studies here that say it works, so it must work because we trust the government. You know, so it's this whole sort of down the chain thing. You've only got to convince the right people. It's like a con man.
Right.
You know, if a con man wants to sell a product to someone, they only have to find one person within the community who has standing and then convince that person. And that person will convince the rest of the community to invest. And then the con man runs away with the whole thing. You only have to convince one person. So it's a kind of a different issue. But with fracking, and like I said, it's very difficult for people to wake up to that because they don't want to admit the government would be doing this to them. But in the case of fracking, this is basically, it's not even perceived as something the government is doing. It's multinational corporations whose only interest is money and financial gain, destroying the groundwater on the planet for their own financial gain. And that's basically what it is, if people want to look at it from that totally left brain perspective. So it's something that everyone can identify with, even if they don't believe water's got memory, even if they don't believe any of the stuff we say about energy, even if they don't believe in Agenda 21, even if they don't believe any of the other stuff, even if they're not into conspiracy theories at all and they think the world's just fine, it's just, you know, you've got a little bit of corrupt business around the place. Here we see corporations destroying the groundwater for profit. That's from their perspective. So even the most asleep person who doesn't believe any of that other stuff can look at this issue and say, well, this is a bad thing, and this affects me. This affects me, and it affects my family for generations to come, because less than 1% of the available water on the planet is drinkable water. Water is the basis of all life. If they do this in order to extract gas, then they will destroy life on the planet. It's that simple. So this is an issue that can potentially be used to unite the entire planet, to unite the entire Western world on a common cause. And then when we have everybody's attention, perhaps we can say, well, look, you've got to look at why this was done in the first place. I mean, ultimately, it's all done because of this need for money, this greed, this corporate greed, and this state of shortage that everybody's in. Why are people in this state of shortage? Well, it's because there's interest on money. So what's that all about? So let's deal with that as well. Mm-hmm. Now, why can't we have governments that actually serve the people? You know, we the people don't wish to pay for currency that we pass around to each other because we employ you, the government, to act on our behalf. So even allowing the nation, because we are the nation, we are the nation of America, we are the nation of Australia, we the people, we are the nation, we employ you, the government, and you are allowing we, the nation, to be enslaved to an interest-based money supply. And because we are enslaved to this money supply, we're forced to rape the planet around us in order to pay off the interest on the loan that you guys get from a private bank. So you're all in breach of trust. Because we don't employ you to do this. We employ you to look after infrastructure, to make sure we have a viable society to live in. And you're not doing that. And, you know, we're not going to put you in jail. We're not going to attack you. We're not going to kill you. We're just going to institute honest government. We want you to go away. You've been very naughty little boys. We're going to seize all your assets, and we're going to give it to third world countries who you've raped, and we're going to do things properly. And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to cancel all debt and take the interest off money and have an interest-free money supply to pass around to each other. Any politician doesn't like that. Well, we can talk about sending them off to The Hague again if that's what they want to do. But we're just not going to tolerate it anymore because it doesn't work. It's useless. We try it your way and look at the planet. It doesn't work. So we want to have an honest system. Because that's what government should do. It should promote honesty. It should promote freedom. It should work in the best interest of its people. It shouldn't allow corporations to have the rights of people. You know, corporations have the rights to do what people can do, and they can rape the planet and they're not accountable. But what sits behind the corporations? All the CEOs and all the people that profit from all of this. And how does this system become, you know, stay in place and become perpetuated the way it is? Well, it is perpetuated because we just don't deal with it. We don't stand in our power and say, hey, enough is enough. This is not what we employ you, the government, to do. So fix it or step down. We'll put in honest government because we have the right to honest government. You know, and the police need to wake up to what they're doing. The police need to look at this issue. That's one of the biggest mm-hmm. threats that we face as a society is the irresponsible police departments that we have that do not look at these issues and look at the reality of the situation and address the criminality that exists within government that allows the perpetuation of this system. And they stand up and try to intimidate anybody who speaks out about it. All they're doing is defending corporate corruption. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of good things that police do. You know, they protect people in a lot of ways, absolutely. But ultimately, what the goal is in these instances seems to be simply to enforce law rather than do the right thing. And if it's just about enforcing law, well, that's what the Gestapo did in Nazi Germany. Exactly. Everything that the Germans did in World War II was perfectly legal according to the law that was enacted at the time. So it's not about enforcing law. It's about protecting the nation. And the nation is the people. So these people need to wake up to themselves, the police and the military and any politician who supports this system. They all absolutely need to wake up to themselves and start doing the right thing because this matter needs to be taken in hand. But it needs to be done in the right way. It needs to be done with the right energy. So again, it's back to doing the inner work, getting rid of the fear. You know, this whole system designed for people to be in fear of each other and never unite. And that should be a clue for people that everything about our society is designed to divide us.
Divide and conquer, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously the solution is to unite. It's so simple, it's ridiculous that people can't see it.
Yeah, well, go against. You know, if they want you to sit inside and watch TV, well, maybe you should do the exact opposite. Go outside and talk with a neighbor. Go outside, plant a garden. Plant a garden with your neighbor. There's a double plus. Double plus good there. No, 1984 reference. but yeah, absolutely. You know, and this is really, we're not going to, you know, find any help, any, whatever in outside forces, in outside, we have to, you know, change our own reality. And when we can do that, we do that every day. We create our own reality every day. Why not create a reality that will bring about a future where we can have clean water, where we can have, where we can stop these multinational corporations coming in and destroying all of our water, destroying our environment around us, destroying the soil to where we can't grow our own food, because the soil, the ground has been destroyed. And coming into our own power, you speak a lot about that on your show, and I believe that that is where it starts. That is where you're gonna find real power, real truth, and real action. You're gonna get real solutions from there. As I mentioned, I was asking the chat room a few hours ago in another chat room, you know, about what are some solutions, Kurt, to this whole fracking thing? And it kind of, I guess, rubbed me the wrong way, Max, because I was like, look, if you're asking me, to give you a solution, well, I'm not going to do that. I guess it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Somebody asking, what would you do? It's almost like they're setting me up to tell them what they should do. And, hey, be creative. Be creative. Any social change that you want to see, be creative. You can find a way to do this. There's no set way. I nor Max can sit and tell anybody how to stop fracking in your area. We can give you suggestions. We can say, hey, you can confront this person. You could go and speak with this person. Get together, educate your neighbors. In this particular area where I am, it isn't very well known. And unfortunately, we're at a educating stage here where I'm at. It seems as it's been escalated there in your neck of the woods, Max. So you may be on a different step. Here I'm at a step where I have to educate people on what this is, because majority of people don't even realize that this is going on right up the road. So it's different for everybody. As Shadow mentioned in the chat, here's the solution. Stop fracking. It's very easy. but it is escalated where you guys are, where you are, Max, and it is escalating all over here in the States, state after state. And we are sitting, there is a huge, they call it an ocean of natural gas that covers up through Pennsylvania, I believe in parts of New York State, into Ohio. So I don't see it really slowing down on the eastern side of the States.
No, they're doing it everywhere, and I mean, the solution that people are looking for is to connect with your neighbors. It really is. You've got to let people know, but let them know eloquently. I mean, don't be running around screaming fear at people. Just talk to them about the issue. You need public awareness, and people need to know the importance of it. I mean, it's water, folks. I mean, we're talking about water. It's the most basic element of life. I don't know how anybody can think that it isn't an important issue.
What do you mean, Max? It's not going to flow out of our faucets every time we turn it on forever?
I know, that's what I mean. I mean, like I said, less than 1% of the water on the planet is drinkable. And they're out destroying this stuff. You can't, and they're doing it because nobody's doing anything about it. So it gets to the stage where you really have to gather your community up, and you need to not petition your government or approach your government. You need to confront them and say, hey, this has to stop. Go to your council and say, look, this is the water table. These guys are destroying the water table. And the government will say, oh, look, this is alleged that that's what's happening. And you say, no, hang on a minute, stop right there. You know, I have a working brain, so I know that when you explode something, it affects everything in the blast radius.
Exactly.
So therefore, when you pump chemicals into the ground and explode them, it affects everything in the blast radius, including the aquifers. It is you who is alleging that an explosion doesn't affect everything in the blast radius. So let's clear that up straight away. This is no allegation. This is a fact. You know, if you're if you're claiming that that fact is wrong, then you should show cause why you shouldn't be dismissed for incompetence, because obviously you're not fit to be making decisions that affect the lives of other people if that's the way you think. You know, so people need to just be aware of it. They need to approach their counsellors and say, look, you need to stop this. If you don't stop it, we're going to hold you accountable. You know, we're going to hold you accountable under your own legal system because you're destroying the water on the planet. We consider this to be a crime against humanity. It says in the Constitution, I'm sure there's something about it's illegal to put, to destroy water. It's illegal to contaminate water. It's illegal to put toxins in water. I mean, I'm sure you've got something in your legal system. Even within their system, there'd be something in there that protects water. No matter what legislation or amendments or any of this stuff they've put in place, because if they put anything in place that gives them the right to do that, then it's a breach of trust. It's a breach of the public trust. So, you know, we need to start approaching it in that way, realize that the place governments are supposed to have in our society. Now, it's people's fear to do this, and people's fear to connect with each other, people's fear to give to their neighbours, people's fear of serving the creation. People's, I live my life in a state of service to the creation, and it totally works for me. I serve everybody around me as myself. And because that happens, because I do that, I find that everybody I know also serves me. You know, we all help each other out. And, the way to improve your own life is to improve the lives of others. If you start going out into your neighborhood and leading by example and addressing these issues and not being in fear, but just speaking out eloquently about it, going to the council meetings, going to the local government meetings and speaking out calmly and eloquently, but confrontationally as well. You know, not petitioning for change, not asking questions, simply stating the facts, saying, hey, this is the issue, and we're demanding that you fix it. And I'm sure the people here listening are with me on this issue. Absolutely. We want this fixed because this is the groundwater. This is what's going on. Well, and in fact, if you don't address it, we're going to hold you personally accountable.
Yeah, and Max, time to ask, hey, will you please stop fracking? Excuse me, we all don't like that very much. No, this isn't an issue where, you, as you said, you'd be very forefront, be very, eloquent in your delivery, and be, forceful. You're not gonna stand for this. Give them the facts. Show them the facts. Make them see it, because otherwise, this is all we can do. We have to stand up. We have to lose this fear. This is so fear-based. There's a great documentary out there called Human Resources. I don't know if you're familiar with it, Max. And they mention in the very beginning of the film that we are being driven by a fear-based reality, not love, not thinking, oh, if we have more love, we'll be okay. We are driven right now by fear, and that is what we need to break down, and then we might be able to see that, this side of love. This whole fear is driving us. Pavlov dog. I mean, they've been able to train us on fear. And it is quite sad, but we have to lose this. We have to lose this. We can't keep living like this. We can't keep living like this, having our water supply completely, destroyed, basically, right out from underneath our feet without us even knowing. It's time for us to not live our lives, not be idle. On a moving ship, I believe, or something along them lines, is the phrase, being idle on a moving train or something like that. And a lot of people are. A lot of people are very idle in their own lives. They don't live their lives. They live out their lives maybe, but they don't live their lives. Standing up, facing these fears, and bringing about this isn't just for us. This isn't just for our generation. This is the future here. I have four kids, and to think, what are my kids going to drink? How are my kids going to survive in the future? How am I going to be a grandfather? How are these things going to happen when right out from underneath of me, they are destroying our water? Max?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it is about the children, and it is about fear, the whole thing. I mean, a whole society is based on fear, everything about it. Fear is what has allowed this system to be created around us. Fear is what prevents people from standing up against the system. You know, we're all so scared of this legal system that's been put in place, which is completely fictional. I mean, you know, like I said, we employ the governments to act on our behalf. So if they're putting legislation in place that basically infringes upon all of our basic rights as human beings, then how are these governments acting in the best interest of the people? How are they acting in our trust? How are they upholding the public trust? They're not. So, you know, we've got to stop being in fear of addressing this. I mean, these laws that they put in place, who says this is law? You know, isn't this entire legal system based on the law of God, the conscience of God? Isn't that equity? Isn't that the maxims of equity? I mean, how have I infringed upon anything that makes me a human being? How have I committed any crime that's affected any person or affected creation in an adverse way? How can you say that because I crossed this line that you put here on the road, or I did this, or I didn't pay some tax on some item that, you know, all of this fictional stuff, and how can you say that there's a crime there? How can you say that I've affected reality in an adverse way? I would suggest that you've affected reality in an adverse way by putting this legislation in place in the first place, because, you know, you're supposed to be acting in the public trust. That's what we employ you to do. I'm a free individual. I'm a free sentient organism, a water-based computer experiencing my own reality. You've got all these laws and stuff you're putting in place, and now that you have written all these things on pieces of paper and put fancy stamps on them, you believe you have the right to allow multinational corporations to come and destroy the water on the planet. And that if I protest and try to keep this basic element of life in a pristine state for all creation, you're telling me that I'm the criminal?
Right.
I mean, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. You know, why is all this happening? Why do we need to destroy the water table? What, to extract gas? You know, why do we need gas? Why do we need all these resources? Oh, it's because everyone's in shortage. That's right, because of this interest-based money system that you guys perpetuate. You know, I mean, let's really look at this whole thing here, folks. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And it all functions because of our fear to address it, our fear to even admit that it's there. You know, our fear to connect with each other, our fear to get to know our neighbours, our fear of not being what we perceive ourselves to be, living up to the expectations we set ourselves, which we often get from the television set. You know, the television set gives us this completely false view of reality, and we grow up believing that acquisition is success, and we have to live this certain life and be in this certain way, and we see all these characters on television and in books, and we identify with those characters, and we forget about ever being ourselves. You know, our whole societies are designed to do this, and you've got to have this status. You've got to have either social status or business status, or you've got to be looked this way, or dressed this way, or act in this way, or hang with this type of crowd, or wear these shoes, or go to this particular type of place in order to be somebody. And if you don't do these things, you're a lesser person. You're not successful. Because, you know, to be successful, you have to be admired by your peers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's this really, really strange mentality. So we're constantly in fear of not living up to the expectations we perceive we have on ourselves. You know, we give to ourselves these expectations we have of ourselves, all based on this false reality, this false paradigm of what reality is and what success is. This is how we live our lives. And, of course, we can never fulfill these expectations we have of ourselves, because they're all completely unrealistic, because most of them come from television and media and all these places that aren't real anyway. And so we don't grow up to have the perfect partner and the perfect children and the house with the white picket fence and the Brady Bunch lifestyle. You know, we don't grow up that way. We end up growing up in a real world, and so we become disappointed with ourselves and we start believing it's our fault. We're in fear of anybody finding out how much of a failure we really are inside, and all this sort of stuff. It's just incredible what we go through emotionally. And it's all because we never really find ourselves at any time through our life, because we're always looking for external means to satisfy ourselves. And while we do this, we just destroy the planet around us. We're in this state of shortage where we've got to go out and work and we've got to consume all this stuff. That's the only way to do it. And the whole society we have is based on taking resources from the planet. And, you know, it's just really bizarre. And it's all fear-based, the whole thing. You know, if people ever really had the chance to just be themselves to their fullest potential, to not drink poisoned water, not drink fluoride, not drink, you know, all the stuff they do, not have all these toxins in the food, not have the chemtrails in the air, and just be a human being to the fullest of their potential. If we ever had the opportunity to do this, we could reach potential, like, you know, unlimited potential. We've got the potential to do so much. We could reach these incredible heights, and I'm sure we have done in our past. I'm sure that's how a lot of the ancient monuments and things we see on the planet were constructed. But somehow we lost that. We moved into this fear-based reality. We moved into this state where our DNA is completely locked down. We're only experiencing 3% of reality. We've this little tiny narrow bandwidth of reality we experience. We live in fear of each other. We live in fear of ourselves. We live in fear of seeing ourselves in others. And the closer they pack us into cities, the more in fear we become, mm-hmm. the more mm-hmm. disconnected we become. You know, people can't even make eye contact walking down the street because they're so scared of seeing themselves in someone else. The eyes must never touch. You know, right. It's all a bunch of strangers.
And in the movies, too, Max, Medusa, you know, you look at her in the eyes and you turn to stone.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all this whole thing. See, you know, there's so much light that are in people's eyes. When we look into someone's eyes, we see ourselves and we realize that we're human. We're all having this same experience, and we don't like to be reminded of that because we may see ourselves what we are and we'll go, oh my God, I'm not the image that I thought I was, that I've gathered from my television. I don't want to be me, I want to be him, I want to be that person, I want to be like that person in that book or that man on that TV show.
Right, right.
And we identify with these people, we project ourselves into these people. We never see ourselves, we never truly come to terms with ourselves. Most people never spend the time to look within themselves, and they never connect with other people, and they never allow other people to be themselves. Even in relationships, often with our partners, we don't allow them to be themselves. We simply seek a band-aid for ourselves. And when both partners are trying to do this, it becomes a bit of a tug of war.
And you know, Max, with all of these problems that we face, like fracking, like the chemtrails, the food, processed food, fluoride in the water, all of these issues, the over-medicating by Big Pharma of our children is another hot topic of mine. It seems to me that a lot of these solutions for, solutions, I'll say, and directions to go result in the understanding that we are sovereign, free individuals. And we can speak on that.
Well, we are. That's the thing. We're free. I mean, I don't even like to use the word sovereign, but we're free. You are a totally free, sentient being who is answerable only to God. That's it. And many people spend this time going through the legal system in order to establish their freedom. Well, no, you're already free. There's no point trying to establish yourself as being free within that system. You're still working within the system. The system's fiction. It only exists on paper. I don't wish to take the system on or fight the system. The system doesn't exist. It's a fiction. It's a meme. It's just an idea. You know, we go through life, we get told that this is the way the world is. But it isn't. It's just an idea. It's somebody's idea of how the world is. And we go to school and we get educated in our left brain education. You know, this is it, this is it, this is the way the world is. Think this way, think within the box, don't step outside the lines. But it's all fiction. The whole thing's fiction. And if we can live our life in service to the creation and in service to each other, to look at another person and see yourself in that other person and always treat that person as yourself, the whole world changes. Change the world in 3 seconds if everybody just started doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But people are too scared to do it. If I'm too scared to give, I'm too scared to put myself in a state of service, because what if I don't get anything back? Well, you know, they've lost it already. I mean,
I
live that way because I know that's how reality works. I don't have to go and establish any belief that that's how reality works. I know within myself that if I speak to the energy field that I am ultimately born from with my heart, if I put noble intention and good intention and heart-based emotions into the field all the time, the field will give back to me. The field will make sure that I'm looked after. Things will just always seem to pan out. I know that that will happen. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to convince myself of it. I don't have to learn it. It's a knowing. It's just being able to speak that language. Now, and so I don't have any fear of things coming back to me. I don't even think about it, whether things will come back to me. If I give something to someone, I don't think, oh, gee, I hope that $50 comes back to me or something. I don't even think about it. It doesn't even enter my head.
Right.
When my intuition tells me to act in a certain way, to give to a certain person, I'll do so. And every person that I look at, I love that person. I see myself in that person. I see myself having that experience in that person. And that's the way I live reality. And because I live that way, reality reacts a certain way back to me.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people talk about the law of attraction, but really it's the law of mirroring. Reality will mirror back to you what you put into reality. So I don't have to establish my freedom. I'm already free. I'm Max. No one else can be Max. And there's nothing that can threaten me being Max. There's nothing that anybody can do that can threaten the experience that is Max. Because no one can be Max better than me. I am Max. That's who I am. No one can be me better than me. And everything that I'm supposed to experience, I will experience. It's how I deal with those experiences. And I don't wish to attack any system. I don't wish to belittle any police officer. I don't wish to speak angrily to anyone. I'll just speak the way I am now, and I will stand in who I am and the power of who I am, because that's who and what I am. No one can interfere with that. No one can possibly change that. Even if I was to be killed and taken out of this life, I would still be who I am. I have absolutely no fear of death. I would simply transition to a new place. A lot of people seem to be in fear of death. That's why they don't speak out. A lot of people live their whole life in fear of death. I mean, yet death is the only thing in life that's actually inevitable. It seems to be pretty senseless to be in fear of that which is inevitable. It's the only thing you can be guaranteed that's actually going to happen to you sometime in life, folks, is that you're going to die. That's it. I mean, that's a given. So you can't be in fear of that. You've got to realize that what this life is a preparation for that, because that's when the main show begins.
Right.
And I'm not saying run off and kill yourself, because it doesn't work that way. If you do that, you didn't learn anything. You missed the lesson. You can't, exit early. You've got to understand what you're here to do is to gain the experience that is you, so you can take that back to source when you leave here and go to the next place. But no matter where you go to, you will always be you. There was never a time when you didn't exist. There was never a time when you will not exist. And this is simply a temporary experience that you're having. It's all running like an algorithm. All the memories in the water, the operating system is your body, the frequencies downloaded from the field. We've gone through all of that. So realize what reality is. And it's all about freedom of choice. All you have to do is stand in your power and realize that everybody around you comes from the same place you do. They're simply a different frequency having that experience. That's all it is. There is no real division amongst you. You may be completely individual in the experience that you're having and completely individual in your perspective of reality, but ultimately you both come from the same source. You're both here having the same experience at the same time, or different experiences at the same time. You know, so it's when we can see ourselves in others and we can put away this fear and realize what the experience is and use our freedom of choice to stand in our power, the power of who and what we are, not establish our freedom, but to simply be free. Be who and what you are. Be what God created you to be. Whatever you perceive God to be, whatever you perceive your Creator to be that and serve the creation. That's the only law of all reality, is to serve the creation. And that includes yourself. That includes everything within the creation.
Yeah,
if everyone started doing that, the whole world changes. It's that simple.
Exactly, exactly. It's not these fictional laws on paper and you know, all of these puppets who want to make you believe that, hey, this is how you have to be. And, of course, you have that magical little box that throws off little pretty colors in the corner of a lot of living rooms, that being the TV. That helps out, you know. Come and people may be wondering, hey, Kurt, Max, what happened to the fracking issue? Ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to solve any issue with fracking if you don't understand what we're talking about here. And what we're talking about is coming into power, your own power, so you can override that fear and be able to bring about some change in your local community, in your area, to stop these things from happening. Max, we're going to take a short break. Got about 5 or 6 minute break. Get up, stretch. We got about 30 minutes left. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, talking about fracking, talking about everything. You name it, we're touching on it. This is Irritate the State News. I'm Kurt, and I'm joined with my very special guest, Max Egan. We'll be back right after this. All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. This is DefiantForYou.com. This is the Irritate the State News Hour, and this is a special time. Usually goes 6 p.m. Eastern Time, but a very special guest from across the pond, way, way, way over there in Australia. Mr. Max Egan has joined us tonight, so we pushed it up a little bit, talking about fracking, talking about consciousness, talking about coming into ourselves. We are hitting every level, and, well, quite honestly, Max, that's what's needed. A complete understanding of who we are as individuals, who you, the listener, who yourself is, then and only then can you start to make a positive change, I believe. When you got to start from within. People want to look outside of themselves, look at their, you know, state representative, look at their, you know, their puppet, their local puppet, and the change doesn't come from there. I think that you really are going in the really wrong direction when you start looking for change in someone else other than yourself. Get, you know, fix yourself. Get you can change your whole reality by changing yourself, right, Max?
Yeah, absolutely you can, and that's why you've got to go through everything that we just were talking about. You've got to know the power that you have, and you've got to know who and what you are, so you can stand up against this issue, because there's no point petitioning the government or approaching the government. I mean, it's the government that allowed this to happen.
Right.
So there's no good working within the parameters provided by these people. You go and fill out these forms and we'll tie you up in red tape for a few months and all this sort of stuff. People have got to understand who and what they are, and understand who, you know, what reality is. And you know, I mean, this just simply can't be allowed. And it's not a matter of petitioning the government. It's a matter of knowing who you are and being the change you want to see in the world. You know, I want to see a world that's free, where people are free to be who and what they are, and to the fullest of their potential. I want to see a world where, you know, everything is protected, where society gets along with each other. And so that's the way I live my life. And, you know, I won't demand that they, you know, have an investigation. I'd like to get the people to simply demand that they stop. So you've got to do this inner work, and you've got to be prepared to just stand there and say, well, no, enough is enough. Now, you're the trustees of the power we give you. Now, it's not about destroying the water. You know, and we want the police to come to the party. We want everybody to come to the party. We want the police to actually do their job of protecting the nation instead of enforcing corporate corruption, because this is the groundwater. This is, you know, this is, you know, it all stops here. It doesn't matter what law is in place. It doesn't matter what you've written on paper, because this is the groundwater. You're talking about groundwater. This is the basic element of all life on the planet. So it's completely irrelevant what legislation or laws that you've put in place to allow this to happen, because you're obviously a corrupt few, and you know, you can't, you don't have the right to destroy the planet in order to make paper, and to have this paper, this stuff in your bank account that is completely irrelevant to reality. It's just this man-made system that's put in place. You know, what gives a select section of the human race the right to destroy all life on the planet in order to collect this stuff? You know, regardless of what legislation you put in place, I mean, people have to realize the seriousness of this, and they have to realize how fictional this whole system is that's allowing it to happen. Because it is, it's a completely fictional system, it's just an idea. And so that's why you have to do the inner work, everything that we were just talking about before the break. You have to understand who and what you are. You have to get rid of this fear of addressing a system which is essentially fiction. Mm-hmm. And the way to address it is not to fight it, but to realize that it's fiction and stop complying with it. Turn away from it. It doesn't exist. You don't need to fight it. You're fighting a cloud. You don't need to establish your freedom. You're already free. Simply stand in the freedom that you have. And inform the people that you know that they're free as well, because they probably don't realize that they're free either. Most people think they're free, but they're, you know, all they've really got is freedom of movement and freedom of acquisition. They're not really free; they're just free range, you know. So
freedom is very much I think starts mentally. It's very much a lot of us can move around and not me in particular, but I see a lot of them running to the McDeath. That would be McDonald's, Walmart, or China Mart, you know, running to these places, and they think that they're free because they can do that. And I a lot of times have to just shake my head and look the other way, because they are so far from the truth. It is unbelievable. It's like people look for and say, oh, we're, a police state is coming. No, my friends, a police state is here. You just have to look in the news. You have cops shooting, executing people every day, every single day. It is sick. This, you know, freedom is not, you know, just your ability to walk around. You know, if I'm not mistaken, I think some of the concentration camp and gulag prisoners, hey, they moved around too. But yeah, they weren't necessarily free.
Well, see, it's people's concept of what freedom is. I mean, people have this misconception of what freedom is. I think it's freedom of acquisition and freedom of movement.
That's exactly what it is.
When we talk about fracking in water, well, what about freedom of life? Because that's what it is. It's affecting your freedom of life. If you have to pay for water, then that means that's you don't have freedom to live. Okay? You might be free to move around as long as you pay for the basic sustenance that you need. You can go for a week without water. No one can go for a week without water.
Right.
Some people can. You mean you might, there was a case of one man who went for a week without water, and he was picked up in the desert. He didn't resemble anything that was alive, but he was still alive. But he was literally crying tears of blood from having been so deprived of water. So nothing can live without water. So if they are destroying the groundwater through fracking, and they are making you pay for the water that is available, then it doesn't matter how much freedom of movement that you have, because you don't have freedom to live, to even have that movement.
Exactly.
If you are going to allow this to be done to the water, it's that simple. And this is why people have to realize that it doesn't matter what legislation is in place. It doesn't matter what corporate rules are in place to allow this to happen, because it's all fiction. Because what we are talking about is your freedom of life. And this is why it has to be looked at this way. Forget the system, forget the politicians, forget all that stuff. It's all fiction.
Exactly. Exactly. This is your freedom to live. That is unbelievable, you know, that crying blood. Wow.
No, well, yeah, I mean, after a week in the desert, he was lost for a week, and his lips had looked like they'd been amputated. His nose had shriveled to half its size. His skin looked like purplish red leather, and it was scratched, but it was completely without moisture. His tongue had swelled up to the point that it was sticking out past his jaws. His throat was swollen to the extent where he felt like he was drowning. You know, the sensation of drowning from being without water. And his eyes were locked in a winkless stare, and he was crying tears of blood. That was from 7 days without water. And so we can have whatever political views we want. We can have whatever conspiracy views we want. We can take whatever methods that we want to establish who we are. We can have any type of religious persuasion, anything we want in life. But one thing that we all have in common is that he who goes without water for a week cries blood. So we need to address this issue. This is extremely important. And people need to wake up to reality. And if this matter doesn't do it, then I don't know what will.
Yeah, I mean, from what you just told me, and I was not aware of this guy in the desert who all this happened to. That is unbelievable that all of these things happen within 7 days of not having water. Things are going on 20 minutes up the road from my house. Right there in your neck of the woods, Max, there in Ireland, as we have some friends in the chat from Ireland. It's happening all over the world. And what are we doing about it? Well, we know what you're doing, Max. And, you know, I think we know what Breiser's doing in his neck of the woods. For all that, we need to come to terms with this. This is the life. This is life, the water. We need this. We are over 80% water, over 80% water made up. And how can we possibly think that we could survive? That how can we possibly think that this is even a good idea to allow this to happen? And we are allowing this to happen because, for one, we do have to wipe aside the fact of this fictional legislation, this paper, you know, the letters on the paper. It means nothing. It is fictional. They are stealing. Well, they are stealing our life.
Well, it is. It's completely fictional. I mean, if they enact legislation to enable them to do this to water, well, yeah, it's fiction. And yeah, we absolutely have to address it. It's the most important issue that we face at the moment. I mean, we face a lot of issues, but, yeah. I mean, the reason I believe, I mean, it is water. It is incredibly important, absolutely, but it's an important issue because it is such an issue that can be used to unite everybody. It really can, because we all need water. And if everybody thinks about it from the perspective that I just gave them, it doesn't matter what your persuasion is. It doesn't matter what your religious persuasion is, what your nationality is, what your political views are. It doesn't matter whether you are a believer in the New Age. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian, a Muslim, a Jew. It doesn't matter what you are. You need water to survive. It doesn't matter if you're a truck driver or a taxi driver or a miner. It doesn't matter if you're someone who's doing it. It doesn't matter if you're someone who is working on coal seam gas extraction. You need water to survive. 1% of the water on this planet is fresh water. The amount of fresh water that is being pumped down into the aquifer in order to destroy the aquifer is also an incredible thing. I mean, the amount of wasted water that is being used. I mean, you know, we take water so for granted. We use it for everything. We wash our cars with it. We just let it run down the drain. We pump it out to the ocean. We take it so for granted. And it's the basic foundation of all life on this planet. And without groundwater, you know, if the rain You know, even rain that comes from now on, you know, in these places that have been fracked, it's soaking into this polluted aquifer. So this is, it's incredibly damaging. It's just destroying the whole cycle. Now, we all learn about the cycle of water when we're children, how it rains. It's this perpetual cycle. It rains, it soaks into the ground, it bubbles up in rivers, it flows out to the ocean, it evaporates, comes down again, all of this sort of stuff. We're breaking that cycle through fracking. So we're destroying the entire water table. This is the most important issue we've ever faced. And so this will unite the human race, I believe. I think this is the best opportunity we've ever had. Human unity, and if this doesn't do it, well, I don't know what will.
No, I agree. Max, we got about 12-13 about 10 minutes left, and I wanted to talk a lot, which we have hit a lot on here throughout the show, and that is solutions. We've talked about how horrible this is and what a devastating effect that fracking can have. And I know that we've spoken a lot about this throughout this show. What can all of us do where this is happening near us? What can we do to help put an end to it? Losing the fear, hitting city council. What else do you suggest, Max?
Public meetings are a good idea, or even private meetings. Just start having community meetings. Anybody who's interested, go put some flyers up in your local shop or whatever, and say we're having community awareness meetings and have discussions on this sort of stuff. Try to organize screenings in your area. Basically get public awareness up and get people involved. It's a very important issue, so you've got to approach it that way, but don't approach it from fear. We're going to have a big free sausage sizzle or barbecue, whatever you're into in your local town, I don't know, whatever, you know, vegetarian food, whatever you're into. You know, big meeting in the park, family get together. Have a market stall if there's some local markets in the area. Just open up a market stall and give out pamphlets and flyers and maybe DVDs to people on, you know, stuff on this issue. Get public awareness up there. Go to council meetings and approach the council. Be firm, be eloquent. Don't be compromising at all. Be, you know, confrontational in a nice way. Let them know that you're not here to debate the issue. You're here to tell them what's going on.
Educated on the facts, absolutely.
Yeah, we're here to make sure you are educated on the facts, and we're not here to have you allege that this doesn't affect the water table, because we have working brains, and so therefore we know it does. If you think it doesn't, then you need to show cause why you shouldn't go in for psychiatric evaluation. Approach it in that way, you know, but be nice, but be firm, and say, look, we're not here to debate. We're here to tell you that we want this stopped. If you're not going to do it, then we're going to seek to have you... Your employment terminated. We want someone honest in place who's going to address this issue, and this is one of the most important issues we face. So you've got to approach the council in the right way, but be firm. Be firm and be eloquent about it. Don't be loud and yell at them and you know, swear at them and stuff like that. Just speak calmly and let them know what you're going to do. People have to realise that it's got nothing to do with, like I said, the fictional legal system. It's got nothing to do with that. This is an issue that supersedes all of that. It overrides any legal matters, because this is the basis of life. Water is the basis of life. I'm sure there are other ways of extracting gas if we even need it, but we need to clear up this debate about carbon. We really do. I mean, the difference between carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide and things like that. We totally need to clear that up.
Mm-hmm.
There's much better ways of doing things, I'm sure, than gas. And we need to have the whole thing stopped, and we need to really start, you know, taking the matter in hand, because the whole system it's gotten out of control. It really, really has. So just community awareness. That's the best solution I can really find at the moment. Go to as many public meetings as you can and speak as calmly and eloquently as you can. Be firm, and get as much awareness happening as possible. And yeah, when you see this stuff as well, it's all about people on the ground. You've got to go and support the people in this village outside of your community. You need people, massive amounts of people from the city going there as well, and saying, "Hey, look, no, we're not allowing this. Doesn't matter what you're doing, we're not allowing it. You need bums on seats, really. You do. You need people on the ground. You need people to stand in solidarity. I'd suggest going and having huge parties. Get bands on and everything. Whenever they're going to go onto someone's property, go and have a rave party there or something. I mean, you know, get everybody involved.
Right, right. Yeah, oh, that, yeah, guerrilla style. Guerrilla warfare.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And be ready. Have people around the area so that if they try to move to another farm, we'll just move the rave over there.
Exactly.
You know? Have it all set up on a truck or something. You know? Big PA, band playing, whatever, you know. Turn it into a big public event. Wherever you're going to see these mines, turn it into a party. Usually it's public ground or it's on someone's property, and the people who own the property don't want anyone there anyway. They don't want these guys coming and doing the mining. So say, hey, we'll come and support you. We'll bring a truck in. We'll put a band on there. We'll bring all the young people in the area and all the old people in the area. We'll have a huge party. We won't let them in. You know, and you could do that. They've been doing that around here as well. Getting lots of people to arrive whenever the gas people come onto someone's property, all these people suddenly arrive and start having a party. And there's nothing they can do, so.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, why not have some fun, you know, at it as well? Hey, if you can have a little, a nice little get-together, plus save the poisoning and the fracking going on in that particular area. Well, you know, it's two thumbs up there. So, you know, and that's what I mentioned to one of Breiser's listeners in the chat room. You know, be creative. There is no set way. You know, I mean, be creative. That's the best way. And I really like the getting together, having a little rave, having a anti-fracking rave. There we go. At any rate, you know, this issue does need to be pushed. I'm going to be going into Yellow Springs here in the next day or so, possibly tomorrow afternoon. I may be up in that area talking to some people about this, and maybe even trying to get some of those people on here to the radio show to you know, give them a platform to speak about this, to say, hey, we live here and we're not going to deal with this anymore. We don't want this, and we will stand up to you. And you know, that's where it has to do. I mean, you said bums in the seat. There we go. We need feet in the street. We need action taken, because they're not going to stop just because I get on here, or Max, you get on your broadcast and say fracking is bad. They're not going to stop because of that. They're going to stop due to pressure. Max, of course, I'm sure everybody knows your website. Please throw your website out there, and you also do a little radio show yourself.
Yeah, well, the radio show is called Surviving the Matrix, and the website is called thecrowhouse.com. And absolutely, when you go and see these people, suggest that they have a rave party, and then put up some posters around town and say we're going to have an anti-fracking rave, get a couple of DJs, and just get the people involved, and that will also unite the city people with the country people. They'll get to know each other. It breaks down the barriers even more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because as we mentioned that in the beginning, the whole divide and conquer, that seems to be the MO. Divide and conquer, and we won't let that happen. That's one way that we can fight these powers that be, if you will, is coming together. And this is one way to do that. Anti-fracking raves. I could see this exploding all over here, Max. Hope it takes off. You know, kind of like the dancing thing that Adam Kokesh is doing. Maybe we can do an anti-fracking rave. There we go. So maybe that should catch fire. I want to thank you again, Mr. Max Egan, thecrowhouse.com. I will see everyone. I will talk to everyone Monday at our regular time, 6 p.m. Eastern. Take care. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And I'll talk to you later. Take care.